In verse 18, we're told, they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they declared their pedigrees after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward by their polls. Now, why the pedigrees? There's a threefold purpose in that. There was an immediate and direct value. Now God has Moses take a census of the men that are able to go to war, because now they're going to have to fight their battles. Now we find that those that were listed had to be those that were of the nation Israel. They had to declare their pedigrees. They are beneficial. You know, it's well to know your ancestors. And a great many people take personal pride in that. I was rather amazed to find out how small the Mayflower was when I saw a replica of it in New York. And in Boston, too, I guess it was, too. And, you know, that's not a very big boat. I had assumed it must be as big as the Queen Mary, the Queen Elizabeth, or one of these great ocean-going vessels, for the very simple reason that so many people got ancestors that came over on the Mayflower. Well, a great many people are very proud of their ancestors. I had a cousin that loved to dig back in the family history, and my, one day at a family gathering, he was telling everyone about the family. I asked him the question, I said, have you found any horse thieves in the family? And he was insulted. Actually, he felt like I'd insulted him by mentioning that. And I have a notion that in my family and your family, too, we went far enough back, we'd find some rascals. Most of us have got rascals in the family. We only remember the good boys and the good girls. There are others back there. But a genealogy is interesting, for that matter. I got a letter some time ago from a concern. They wanted to trace my ancestry, and they said that they thought I'd be delighted to know it. And I said, well, I'm just perfectly willing to forget about it and go on from here, forgetting those things which are behind. And most of us do well to do just that relative to that. But the genealogies are important in Scripture. Now, the second reason is some are recorded and others omitted. And the reason is obvious. They lead to Jesus Christ. We saw in Genesis the rejected line was given first, then it was dropped and forgotten. And then the line that's leading to the Lord Jesus is given and it's followed all the way through. Now, the third reason is God forbade intermarriage. They had to be able to declare their pedigree as true Israelites. They were beneficiaries of the covenant to Abraham. And you'll recall that in the days of Nehemiah, that there were some in the priesthood who couldn't declare their genealogy. And I want to tell you, they got washed out. In fact, the matter is, they were put out because they couldn't declare their genealogy. It was very important, therefore, for an Israelite to be able to declare his genealogy. In fact, if he couldn't declare his genealogy, he was put out. Over in the 7th chapter of the book of Nehemiah, I'd like to read there a statement that's quite interesting. It's in the 64th verse, Nehemiah 7, 64. It says, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore were they as polluted, put from the priesthood. So there were certain Levites couldn't declare their genealogy, and they were put out of the priesthood. And actually, the New Testament opens with the genealogy, and it stands or falls on the accuracy of that genealogy. It was on display or on record in the temple of that day. It could have been checked, and probably the enemy checked it many times to see if he couldn't find a fault in it, but that was the genealogy, as you can see, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this has a great message for us today. Could you imagine an Israelite at this time, a young man's called up, and they ask him, are you an Israelite? And he says, well, I hope I'm an Israelite, but I can't be sure until I die. What do you think would have happened? They would have pushed him aside. And then suppose that another young man stepped up and they said, are you an Israelite? And he'd say, well, I try to be an Israelite. I'm working at it, and I hope I'm going to become an Israelite. What do you think they would have done with him? It was very important for them to declare that they were an Israelite, a son of Abraham. That was very important. And I have a question for you today. It's a rather personal question. Can you declare your pedigree as a Christian? Well, somebody said, well, I didn't know whether I could or not. Absolutely, you better be able to declare your pedigree, my friend. Listen to John in 1 John 3:2. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Can you say that, friends? And how do you become a son of God? Galatians 3:26. Ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You become a son of God by faith in Christ. There's no other way. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, the authority to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more or less than just simply believe in his name. And then again, Galatians 3:29, and if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then again in Romans 8:14 and 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. I believe that you can know it. I want to say to you, you can be born again by the blood of Christ and be in the family of God. And that's the only way. And in the wilderness journey today, you must know, my friend, who you are. You must know whether you're a child of God. And if you're not sure of that, you ought to make sure of that. And you can make sure of that. Somebody says, how can you make sure? You take God at his word. If you trust Christ, then you take God at his word. And he says that you're his son by trusting. Now are we the sons of God? Are you a son of God? You are if you've trusted Christ and you can believe God. You can rest on his word. It's what he says, not what you think, by the way. And it was pretty important to be in the army of Israel. You had to declare a pedigree. You wouldn't be able to fight. You wouldn't be able to stand. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You know, there's a shield on the walls of West Point. It's blank. And that shield is the shield of Benedict Arnold. He's the man without a country. A lot of Christians like that today. At least they profess to be Christians. But I tell you, they can't write down on that shield their name and say, I am a son of God through faith in Christ. We must know that we are the children of God in the family of God and in the household of faith. You know, there's a lot of spiritual amnesia today. A Christian must and ought to know that he's a child of God. Oh, my friend, how important that is. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:12. This is important scripture. Paul could say, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's very important.